and to the Holy Spirit.
George Friedrich Handel began his magnificent oratorio, The Messiah, with the words, "Comfort ye," from Isaiah 40. In fact, 7 of the first 11 verses, which we've heard, comprise the words for 5 different numbers of part 1 of that oratorio. These words form a fitting introduction to a musical presentation that follows the Messiah's ministry, beginning with the Old Testament prophetic announcements of his coming, continuing through the New Testament fulfillment of his birth, death, resurrection, and his continuing intercession for us, and culminating in his glorious return and reign forever and ever. Messiah's message is one of comfort and of hope. Since most scholars consider Isaiah 40 one of the finest tributes to God's greatness, some people might question whether Handel took liberties in applying these verses so explicitly to the Messiah. But the fact is that Handel was perfectly justified in finding the Messiah as a fulfillment of these prophecies. The comfort of sins forgiven, spoken of by the prophet, can be realized only through the redemptive work of the Messiah. The chapter further presents in these 11 verses the tender shepherd and the mighty creator, which are both characteristics of the Messiah. This grand chapter, Isaiah 40, is a specifically messianic chapter. When Isaiah wrote chapter 40, he was prophetically viewing the return of the Jews from Babylon. He wrote the words nearly 2 centuries before the event took place, but he also wrote from a prophetic standpoint that implied the event would transpire shortly. Isaiah 40 had an immediate fulfillment, and it will have a more complete fulfillment at a later time. The immediate fulfillment is but a foreshadowing of what will follow. Judah's political deliverance from the Babylonian captivity pictures the spiritual deliverance from the satanic bondage of sin. As the exodus from Egypt, which we sang about, so the return from the Babylon is viewed as one of God's great redemptive works. God's power of deliverance is not only physical, it is spiritual as well. Isaiah prophesied about both types of deliverance. While the Jews were in Babylon, they were discouraged. Jerusalem, their beloved city, lay in ruins. Their political state had been destroyed. They had no central temple in which to gather and practice the Levitical rituals of worship. They needed comfort. Isaiah's comforting words were twofold. First, that Judah's warfare is ended. Second, her iniquity is pardoned. Israel's exile was viewed as the rigors of warfare, which were about to end. Years earlier, God had warned Israel that disobedience to him could lead to captivity. Later, he predicted that when the 70-year-long Babylonian captivity had ended, the Jews would pray, "And seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all your heart, these things shall be so." Judah's iniquity caused her exile. Her turning to God led to her pardon. The Messiah's redemptive word made that pardon possible. That return trip from Babylon would not be easy. Using the metaphor of road builders, Isaiah picks up the account and calls upon the nation to prepare itself for the Lord's coming. He pictured Israel like a spiritual wilderness to whom a mighty sovereign was approaching. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it all together, prophesied Isaiah. Years later, the gospel writers quoted this verse while explaining John the Baptist's preparatory work for Jesus. By their use of the passage, we learn that Jesus is indeed deity, for he is actually the Lord whom Isaiah prophesied. And even the Apostle John may have had Isaiah's words in mind there in his great prologue when he wrote, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Babylon had already proved its power over Israel. Could God deliver Israel from mighty Babylon? Can a person today be delivered from the bondage of sin? The assurance given to Israel that God would fulfill the prophecies of these first five verses is the same assurance that we as believers today have for believing God's promises, as we see it so often on the front of books from Concordia Publishing House. The Word of God remains forever. Isaiah compared man to temporal flora, which withers and fades. That comparison includes the powerful Babylonians. Hence, man can neither thwart nor annul the Word of God. What he has promised, he will perform. He will not leave his people. Instead, he promised to go to them. The daughters of Zion were to announce the good tidings to the villages of Judah, dispelling fear concerning the presence of God. "Behold your God," they declared, a word that for those who did not believe was a word of law, but for those who believed, a great word of gospel and comfort. Years later, an angelic messenger announced to the Judean shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Whom did the angel announce? The Son of God, Jesus, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah gives us a final image this morning. Like a gentle shepherd, the mighty God would lead and tend his flock. A contrast there between the strength and the gentleness. A contrast illustrated in some popular mechanics from the 1950s when this campus was under construction I've been looking at, where in fact there is an advertisement for something called Hastings Piston Rings. And some of you are old enough maybe to remember those advertisements. And in the caption of the illustration within these advertisements, you have this person who's kind of large and rough and a really tough kind of cartoonish character, who's doing an extremely dainty deed, even as these little fragile pistons do a very powerful deed inside of an engine. The caption reads, "Tough, but oh so gentle." While powerful in his judgment of those who oppress his people, the Messiah is kind and gentle to even the weakest of his own. The powerful Lord cares for his people. He places the lambs, weak and newly born, in the folds of his garment, close to his heart. Those who have young need his special care to lead them. It is no wonder that Isaiah ends this powerful 11 verses with the message that these good tidings should be proclaimed from the mountains for all to hear. Next week, many of you who are being formed as servants in Jesus Christ to teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all will receive assignments and placements to congregations throughout the land. Yours will be the voice that brings comfort to God's people in holy absolution, holy baptism, in the proclamation of the holy gospel from high places we call pulpits. Yours will be the voice of the shepherd who knows his sheep, and his sheep get to know him. And it will be said of you, as the prophet foresaw it a few chapters later, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, Your God reigns forever and ever. Amen.